Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is starvation diets, intermittent fasting, and keto. So, with the new year, a lot of the most common goal that most people have in the new year is to lose body fat. So they'll say lose weight, but typically what they really want to do is lose body fat. And it's true that if somebody weighs, say a female weighs over 200 pounds, they're most likely going to want to get weight off. But they're more so going to be concerned with losing a lot of body fat and maybe keeping some muscle so they have some nice curves and stuff underneath their clothes and whatnot. And then the same thing with guys. If they're, you know, say 250 plus or 300 plus, they absolutely do need to get their weight down most likely for overall health. But again, the same goal is they're not going to want to lose, you know, more muscle mass than what they really need to get their weight down. And traditionally in both these cases, when you have a woman say over 200 pounds and a man over 300 or 250, they don't have so much muscle that they can afford to lose a ton of muscle and still have muscle underneath. So typically they're still a normal muscular person, or they actually have, in most cases, they're going to have kind of muscle to their thighs and hips and glutes maybe from having to carry around their body weight, but they're not going to have a lot of muscle in their upper body. And then actually that's kind of arguable whether they even have a muscle in their glutes. So I see this a lot in women where if they're, you know, 200 some plus pounds, they're going to have a big butt. However, it's because it's fat. It's not muscle. So as they lose weight, their butt kind of disappears. And that's because there wasn't anything there of substance. Like there wasn't muscle tissue that's permanent. It was just body fat. So as the body fat went down everywhere else, it went down in their glutes as well. Okay, so why is that important to go through all that? And part of the reason why is because when you do diets, your real goal is to lose body fat. And when we talk about, like, and we, I mean, as a nutritionist or people giving nutrition advice, we'll often talk, one component of a diet is the consideration of any muscle loss. And what I think it's important for us to notice is that even if you're, like say 200 plus pounds for a female or 250 or 300 plus for a male, you don't have a ton of muscle that you can just go ahead and let go and waste away. So it's not like, you know, if I'm a male and I'm 330 pounds, you are not Arnold Schwarzenegger underneath that 330 pounds. So I know this for a fact because I've done that myself. So I've been up to 290 before and 6 foot tall, and I didn't have a big belly. Like there was no belly sticking out over my belt or anything like that. So, but I was, you know, a big puffy marshmallow at 290, and I've dieted down all the way down to 200 at that stage, like at that point in time in my life. And at 200, you know, there were some semi-visible abs kind of thing going on, but I was 6 foot tall, 200 pounds, and I still wouldn't have been as lean as, say, a bodybuilder like Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was 240 pounds around there. So 230, 240. So the reason why this is important is even if you are relatively large, so overweight in the sense to where you absolutely need to get your weight down for health purposes, you still don't want to lose muscle tissue. Losing muscle tissue is still a major concern for you. Number one, for aesthetics that we just said, that's important because we all want to look good when we lose weight. And then also it's really helpful because muscle tissue is kind of what determines your metabolism throughout the day. And metabolism is just a fancy word for how many calories you burn when you're doing kind of nothing. So when you're just alive and going to work and doing your own normal stuff, that would be your metabolism, how many calories you use just to stay alive. Muscle tissue requires calories to stay alive. Okay? Our body has to give blood to muscle tissue so that way the muscle tissue can get like the proteins it needs and all the other good stuff in blood. So that way the muscle can stay alive and stay active. Body fat does not. Body fat does not really require a lot of work for us to keep it. So you can lose body fat and your metabolism won't change. So you can look better, be leaner, and you'll still be able to eat a significant amount of food, like X number amount. So maybe your metabolism, your base, like there's a fancy word for it called basal metabolic rate. But basically the amount of calories you burn while doing your normal life. Let's just say that's 2,500. If I lose 10 pounds of fat, it's still 2,500. So there is some debate on this, because if you have to move around less overall weight, you do reduce your calories some. So if I weighed 300 pounds and now I only weigh 200 pounds and I'm having to move myself around, I don't burn as many calories moving a 200-pound self as much as I do moving a 300-pound self. But the amount of calorie difference is really small compared to if you were to lose muscle tissue on a diet. So say you went into a starvation diet, you wanted to lose a lot of weight really fast, and you didn't set up your diet correctly along the parameters that we're going to explain, you will lose muscle tissue. And what happens then is that your basal metabolic rate, the amount of calories you burn while doing your normal life, actually goes down. So if you were at 2,500 and you lose a certain amount of muscle, now all of a sudden you're only at, say, 2,300. Well, what do you think that does to your diet? You had to reduce your calories to get body fat off, like body weight off. And now all of a sudden you have to reduce your calories even more because your normal amount of calories that you burn has reduced. Okay? So if I have to be in a caloric deficit, if I have to eat less calories than I burn, and let's say I'm 100 calories underneath my basal metabolic rate, but my basal metabolic rate went down 100. Well, now I have to change my nutrition to go down another 100. And basically what ends up happening with starvation-based diets or diets where you lose muscle mass, you have to continually reduce your calories to make up for your metabolic rate continually reducing. And therefore, all of a sudden, you're left feeling like you're eating nothing, but yet you don't see a weight loss change, and you kind of plateau, you feel like crap, and everything kind of goes to shit, basically. It all goes downhill. So that's the idea of what I want to bring up your attention for, and then we're going to talk about how to address that and correct it. So one of the main things that people kind of, it's human nature, so I can't even really, like, I'm not going to try to stand on a soapbox and kind of, like, you know, pick on everybody else. We all want results fast. We all want results now. So if there is somebody out there, a program or a diet style or some coach or guru or whatever, is promising you to lose 30 pounds in 30 days, that sounds pretty awesome, right? We all would love to lose 30 pounds, and the faster the better. So they'll tell you about this amazing, awesome structure, or this amazing, awesome diet, or something like that is a method that you can lose those 30 pounds in 30 days. So we all jump on it. We all want to do it. We all want as much as we can get right now. The downside is those things are not sustainable. They're not lifelong. So you'll lose those 30 pounds maybe. And then will you keep it off? Absolutely not. Because what you had to do to get it off isn't something you can keep doing. And then also, if you do a big extreme like that where I lose 30 pounds in 30 days, that's a lot more than just fat that you lost. You're going to lose some muscle tissue due to how severe of a caloric reduction that's going to have to be, and or combined with how severe of physical activity that's going to have to be to burn up a lot of calories. Okay, so you might end that diet 30 pounds lighter, but now you have a metabolism that's way slower, and you can't eat what you even used to eat when you started the diet. Okay, so what ends up happening is you lose 30 pounds, but now you're in a state where it takes even harder work to maintain your weight than what you would have been at before you started. So you lost 30 pounds, but now you've pretty much screwed your future because it's going to be damn near impossible to keep where you're at and or lose anything more. So what I want to do is talk about two kind of popular starvation style diets, intermittent fasting and keto diet, so ketogenic diet. Talk about the pros and the cons, what's good and bad about them. So they're not all bad. There are good things to them. And then I want to talk about where they're best used and when, and then what is an alternative to them that might be a better lifelong sustainable kind of option. Okay, so intermittent fasting. Basically what this is you set up times of the day to eat your food, and at other times of the day you do not eat. So let's just give a basic example. Is I wake up in the morning, I normally skip breakfast anyhow, so we'll keep that. And they'll, and then I'm talking about an example, not me myself, so I do eat breakfast. But a person will think to themselves, okay, I get up in the morning, I don't eat breakfast, I kind of get busy at work, so I don't really eat anything until like maybe around lunch, and usually it's a late lunch, it might be out at a restaurant with friends, and I know it's food I shouldn't really be eating, so I'm going to skip that meal as well. Then they normally don't eat anything in the afternoon because they deem themselves too busy to take care of their own damn body, which is dumb. So all of a sudden they set up a rule and they're saying, okay, I'm going to eat all of my food just between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. So that's the idea of it is intermittent fasting means you have times of the day you're fasting. So you're going to purposely skip meals that you would have been able to eat or normally you might eat and shove all your calories into the smaller time window. So if I'm only eating from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., it's going to be harder for me to overeat my daily calories because the time window is so short. Okay? So the idea of intermittent fasting is it gives you a time constraint on your food, and therefore it is believed to cause a caloric reduction, and the caloric reduction that it causes then causes weight loss. So that's essentially intermittent fasting. I'm only going to eat at a certain amount of time per day, so that way I can't really overeat my calories for that day, and over time I will lose weight. There is an insane amount of things wrong with that. So I am not a big proponent of intermittent fasting, and just because of, I'll go through and explain really quickly, but that could be a whole damn podcast itself. So our body is a machine in a sense to where when we use it, we are using up fuel, we are using up resources, we are causing wear and tear to our machine. If I go the whole day without fueling my machine, taking care of my machine, doing anything, I just beat the shit out of it and use it all day. And then all of a sudden I try to throw a bunch of food in at night. That's whenever you would say drive across country in a car and then try to take care of it after the fact. Not the best approach, right? So if I want a machine to last long, I want to prep it before I use it, take care of it while I'm using it, and then fix anything that went wrong after I used it. That is the way to make something last a long time, is to take care of it at all times. So if my intermittent fasting dictates that I get up in the morning, I use whatever resource energy I got, I burn through some body fat, I just kind of wear my body down, what ends up happening then is you collect a lot of damage. You collect a lot of muscular damage, and you collect a lot of joint damage. Your body kind of gets worn out, and then from 6 to 10 p.m. you try to eat enough food that your body can kind of catch up and maybe make some of the repairs. The downside is people typically don't eat the right types of foods for that. So what they end up doing is they'll eat kind of junky, like sugary-based stuff. They maybe don't get enough protein in. So they kind of eat foods that satisfy a caloric goal, but they're not going to be everything the body needs to actually fix and repair itself. So our body uses healthy fats and proteins to fix muscles and do work throughout the body, like fix skin, grow your hair, grow your nails, whole bunch of maintenance-y type stuff. And carbohydrates are helpful for working our brain, but they're not as helpful as people think in terms of repair. Carbohydrates are great for energy, excuse me, but they're not amazing for repair. They really don't help a lot in that way. So if a person, after using their body the whole day, accumulating a lot of stress and damage, and then all of a sudden they put a bunch of carbohydrates, it doesn't really help. That can help fuel you for the next day, but it doesn't help address any of the damage and repair that you caused that day. So what ends up happening, since your body can't repair and fix everything, it lets go of some of the structures. So for example, if you didn't use a lot of your muscle in that day in your upper body, there would be no chance for your body to kind of be stimulating to build new muscle there. There's no stimulation to even maintain the muscle you have. So in a sense, you would make it to the end of the day, your body would feel beat up and miserable, and it would be struggling to recover what it needs to recover. So it's going to look at muscle in places you don't use as just wasted effort. It's going to say to itself, man, I don't really need to have all that muscle in my arms and my shoulders. We don't really do anything with that. But I need a lot of that protein. I need a lot of resources to help repair my legs and my thighs. So all of a sudden you start losing muscle mass in your upper body. You'll keep the muscle mass to your thighs because you have to walk yourself around all day. So you would have had a stimulus to use that muscle, and you would have a stimulus for the body to keep that muscle, but not in other areas. So that's why I was debating about, you'll see some big people, they have a big butt in terms of fat, but they don't have a big butt in terms of muscle because they're sitting on their butt often throughout the day. So you're not really using that muscle. Most people don't walk properly. They have their toes like flared out. And when they walk, they're typically using more of their thighs and hamstrings rather than their glutes with their feet pointed straight. So what you'll see is a reduction in muscle of the glutes, a reduction in muscle of the upper body. So that over time, they'll lose weight, but since they lost muscle, their whole metabolic balance is going to go down, and therefore they're going to find it harder and harder to lose weight in the future, because as they're trying to reduce their calories, to get a deficit, the body is reducing the calories it needs because there's less and less muscle requiring calories. So that's one of the big things why I don't like about intermittent fasting, is because you accumulate a lot of wear and tear and a lot of damage on the muscle, but you don't really allow the muscle a chance to heal and fix itself. So basically, there's a lot of accumulation of stress over time, but you don't end up having a way to build the body over time. So intermittent fasting is a way of stripping weight off of you, but it's not a way of building your body. So you typically do not end intermittent fasting with a much better body in terms of health and aesthetics. You just end with a lighter body with less body fat. So you will get the goal of, say, weight loss. That's a, you know, a nice benefit, but you don't get the goal of, you know, the best aesthetics. You don't feel the best. You often feel beat up and run down. Your joints kind of hurt. You're sluggish throughout the day. You're moody. You have a lot of mood swings, a lot of craving swings. So it's not a really fun process to go through. Your body's going to kind of feel like crap the whole time. Now, it doesn't usually feel that way right away when you first start, because there's a lot of body fat and your body's kind of fresh and, you know, doing okay. But like we said, as the wear and tear accumulates from day to day to day, it gets worse and worse and worse, and eventually you end up feeling like crap, you can't get the weight off, and you're kind of plateaued. Okay, so that's kind of intermittent fasting. Keto diets, or ketogenic diets, are where you try to eliminate carbohydrates, so you end up eating fats and protein. And the reason why this works is because you're eliminating one of the three basic, like, kind of categories of foods. So if I told you all the food available on the planet, I'm going to take away one third of it from you, you're most likely going to get a caloric reduction because I just took away a lot of stuff that you typically eat. So you're going to have a hard time figuring out what do I eat instead of that. So whereas intermittent fasting kind of caused weight loss due to the time restriction causing a reduction in calories, ketogenic diets cause weight loss due to the caloric restriction created by eliminating carbohydrates. So a person will eat like bacon and butter for breakfast. They can eat sausage and all the meats they want. And usually people like this because if they're a fat-based, like, dietary person, like they love bacon and, you know, animal meats and eggs and cheese and stuff, they're going to feel like it's the greatest thing in the world because they actually feel like they're allowed to and supposed to eat those types of foods. Okay? So they're going to be like, oh man, this is freaking awesome. I don't need carbs if I have bacon. So what they end up doing is, in these cases, they'll get a caloric reduction because they've eliminated a whole category of food. But you end up eating more saturated food than you really should. And there are other rules to these diets. Like for intermittent fasting, you could, you know, add in a protein requirement, you can add in a whole bunch of other little factors and stuff, but eventually you have to take it away from what actual intermittent fasting is to make it actually be healthy, long-term healthy. Same thing with ketogenic diets. It's for them to be long-term healthy, you have to add some carbs back in, you have to add, you know, other legal rules here and there, and we're going to talk about what is a better scenario. But in a sense, ketogenic diets, the downside to them is that you end up eating a lot of saturated fats. That can add to joint pain through arthritis and just also just inflammation and stress in the joints. And then also, the body, for some people, does not run well off breaking down dietary fats for energy, which is ketones. So that's what ketogenic diet kind of refers to, is when we break down carbohydrates, we break it down into glucose. When you break dietary fats down to energy, you're actually breaking them into ketones. And it's a different type of fuel. It's kind of like gasoline versus diesel. It's just a different type of fuel. Some people, excuse me, some people don't run well off of ketones. So it's just not their kind of natural feeling. And I have done a ketogenic diets in the past where I actually did like the pea sticks and made sure I was in ketosis and all that. And I felt like crap. I had no energy. Just blah all day. Joints hurt, didn't feel good energy-wise, and my calories were controlled, my protein was controlled, I was in ketosis, I did everything you should do, and I have had a ton of clients who did the same things. We did all the parameters correct, but they just felt like crap, they didn't feel good. And even the clients that I did have, they could followed it well and responded well to it. It worked okay as a form of, like, eating, but it wasn't really, like, lifelong sustainable because it didn't apply to all situations. So they could follow their ketogenic diet whenever everything in their life was going as planned. So they got to make their meals, they got to, you know, control their schedule, everything kind of got to be controlled. Well, what happens whenever life goes out of control? When you have to eat, you know, somewhere else or something else than what you're used to, it was a harder diet to kind of manipulate and make changes from. And like I said, for most people I've worked with, they didn't find a lot of energy from ketogenic diets. So our body does burn carbohydrates faster and better. Our body prefers to run off of carbohydrates. Ketogenic diets, aiming to run the body off dietary fats, sometimes people don't break it down well. They feel sluggish. Oftentimes people don't eat enough calories. So since they took away an entire category of food, they tend to undereat their overall calories. Even though they increase their fat and protein, they don't increase it enough to make up for the difference. So they're running on a suboptimal fuel source, and also they're in a caloric deficit, which just makes it all like a double whammy. So they'll have moments where they have to be physically active, where they'll kind of feel like cold, sweaty, clammy skin because their blood sugar dropped really low, faster than what they could break down the fats to replace the energy sources with. So they just kind of don't feel good doing physical activity. They don't feel like they have a lot of energy. Maybe they can do something really quick for a couple minutes, but they're not going to be able to sustain it for long term. So that's typically one of the downsides of ketogenic diets, is you just don't feel good while you're doing it. So with both intermittent fasting and keto, you can lose weight. You will lose weight if you follow the rules and kind of reduce your calories. So that's essentially what it's causing. Those rules cause reduction of calories. But you don't feel good during the whole time you're doing it. And in both styles, you end up losing muscle, so commonly. So your metabolism at the end of the diets isn't where it's optimal, and therefore you kind of reach plateaus and or you have a harder time losing weight in the future. So maybe you lose 30, 40 pounds, you gain 10 or 20 of it back, but then you can't seem to get anything back off the next time you try to diet. And that's because your metabolism is now lower than what it was before you started the first diet. So now you have to do an even more extreme second diet to get weight loss. The same process happens again, then you would need a more extreme third diet, and it just kind of goes worse and worse and worse. So, do both of those diets work for weight loss? Yes. But are either one of those lifelong sustainable? Not really. You have to make changes to them. So, for example, some intermittent fasting people, they will switch over to two feeding times. So they might have a time in the morning where they do 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. and then 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And what ends up happening then is that 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., they're now fueling their body while they're using it. They're building up some resources. So that way in the afternoon from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., when they're not eating anything, their body will use up the resources that they stored up from that morning feeding time. So it takes care of that problem of running your body empty. So I'm wearing it down. So you have to all of a sudden make a change, and now it's 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., and they make that work. Well, that's okay, but that's not really intermittent fasting anymore. So you found some weird middle ground thing that maybe works. But now that there's two windows of eating, you have two times now to eat all your calories, and you end up, usually people end up overeating their calories. So then all of a sudden they feel better. They have more energy throughout the day. Their body doesn't feel as beat up. Their joints don't hurt. But they don't notice the weight loss coming off. So by fixing one problem on the diet, you create another problem on that diet. Because you started with a kind of a crappy structure to begin with. Ketogenic diets, you'll often hear people, they'll talk about bringing back in non-sugary foods. But maybe they'll do, it's basically just hilarious, some of the terminology. But I've heard people explain it where I don't do any carbs except for, then they'll say like potatoes or like certain vegetables like beans and all these other kind of healthy carbs like slow digesting carbs. So they'll say I don't do any carbs except for all the carbs I should have been eating anyhow. So it's not really a diet, like it's not an amazing diet structure if all you're eliminating is sugars in like Oreos. You should have been eating that crap in the first place. So it's not really, you know, that amazing of a diet structure. It's just don't eat garbage becomes your structure. So, this is long already, and hopefully you're still with me here. So I'm going to try to wrap this up a little bit quicker. So, what do we do if these things don't work long term? So they do work in the short term, so they will get some weight off. So if you have a health problem, and you need to get weight off. So say you're 300 plus pounds and you have just got to get weight off you, then those diets work well for getting it off quick, okay? But they're not lifelong sustainable. So what I'd suggest you go to, and you can either do it right away or you can use this new structure I'm about to explain after the other structures kind of wear out and plateau. But it's essentially a diet structure where you control your carb and fat intake. You allow yourself to eat both carbs or fats, but you don't eat them at the same time. And you kind of watch your volume of foods. And you can have meal times whenever it's convenient for you. So some people have 3 meals a day, some people have 4, some people have 5. But the idea is you eat a little bit before you use your machine, you eat a little bit while you're using it throughout the day, and you eat a little bit at the end to help with repair. So we kind of typically try to suggest to people to do at least 3 meals a day. So something in the morning, something midday, and something in the evening. And then we have some people do like a mid-morning snack or a mid-afternoon snack, so they'll get up to like maybe 5 meals a day. So, and that's generally what we would recommend, is that you do something between 3 up to 6 meals a day. And in those diets, in those meals, you'd have some protein. You'd have either carbs or fats, so that way you don't overeat either one of those, because when you overeat those, they do lead to body fat. And you tend to, we either will have a calorie count that the person will stay in, like an if it fits your macro kind of thing, but we have a healthy food list, so that way you're not just fitting Oreos and ice cream into your calories. Or we'll just have volume control. So they'll eat, like they'll measure out their food, have like a cup of this, you know, 4 ounces of that. We would see how their body responded, and then you would adjust it over time. So those styles are both easier, and they're lifelong sustainable, because if you're out with friends at a restaurant, you can get a grilled meat, you know, get a nice healthy carb with no butter on it, like a potato, and then maybe get some vegetables, eat food with your friends, enjoy yourself, and move on. So it gives you more variety and more the ability to shift based on what moment of the day you're in. So those are the diet structures I'd recommend, is where you aim for at least 3 meals a day, and you aim for protein consistently throughout the day with some carbs or some fats, but you don't have to completely eliminate fats or completely eliminate carbs. So both of them are sources of energy. So fats are slower digesting energy, carbs are faster digesting energy. So if you're active at that moment of the meal, you would eat carbs so you can get the energy now. If you're inactive, you would eat fats because you don't really need a big jump of energy right now because you're not doing much. So what I'd like to offer is, if someone has listened to this so far, and you're either doing intermittent fasting or ketogenic diets, and they are kind of plateaued, or you're in the middle of kind of feeling like crap and nothing's going well, reach out to us. I will send you a template on how to do it in the manner that I'm discussing, that is a little bit better in terms of making you feel like you have more energy throughout the day. It curbs cravings throughout the day. It allows you more variety of foods. There's not as like black and white big rules where you have to, you know, can't eat at certain times of day or can't eat certain types of foods. So, or a whole category of food. So if you reach out to us, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll send you that template. Now, if you read the template and you want some help on how to personalize it, that does take some of our time to help you, so we do charge for that. So if you read through it, yeah, I promise you could read through that paper and actually get help and use it yourself. But if you do have any kind of special questions or something you want help to kind of set it up specifically for you, like certain meal times, eliminate certain options if you have, like, you know, lactose intolerance, celiac disease, maybe you have rheumatoid arthritis and you have to eat a certain way to avoid arthritis pains, we can help you structure the diet around that stuff. So reach out to us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. We'd be happy to help, okay? And I'll be happy to send you that paper. So hopefully this gave you a little bit of background about the good and the bad, and probably more so bad, because I don't think they're the best way of eating, is intermittent fasting and ketogenic diets, okay? So they're good for temporary results, but they're not good for a lifelong sustainable results. So if you want to use them to try to get a jump on weight loss, that's perfectly fine. Go ahead and do it. But when you start feeling the crap and things start plateauing, you want to make the switch over. So reach out to us and we'll tell you what to switch to. Okay. So hopefully this was helpful. If you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. If you like the podcast, please share it. So if you know someone that might help might be benefited from learning this stuff, share it with them, okay? Let me be the bad guy that brings the bad news. So just send them a link and then don't say anything. I'll take care of the rest, okay? And then if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, or if you'd like that handout, reach out to us, okay? We'd love to hear from you. This podcast is intended to be for you, so we'd like to know what you want to learn about. We'd like to know your thoughts and opinions on this stuff so that we can continue to make the podcast as best as it can be for you, okay? Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.